There we go.
All right.
All right. Okay, now we're in the book of Romans. I know y'all are, huh?
You have a friend in Florida?
Well, it's a brother.
Brother, okay.
It's a brother.
Brother, I didn't know. I
can't
remember his
name.
Stan.
Gotcha. No. Smith.
Are you the one
that happened? Anyway. All right, here we go.
Okay, thank you.
Now, we're in chapter 2 of the book of Romans, and I'm just gleaning all kind of good stuff out of this going one by one, so I hope you guys are too.
That's right.
And it's fitting right along with the seals, I think. Yeah. Of course, the whole Bible is the seals that are locked up until God opened them to the prophet in 63, and now 50-something years later, I believe he's opening them up to us as individuals.
Yes.
We have the right player, the team, we got everything right here.
Yes.
There's nothing else coming. I believe the 144,000 are growing up over there and getting of age to where they can understand God when he comes to them. And
right.
It's just an exciting time that we know now, because remember, even in 63 and all that, where Brother Ram said, you're not getting it. In other words, until he did another quote, around the coming of the Lord, these things will be made known. I believe that's in the seventh seal. And now, the coming of the Lord has been happening, we know, since the day of Pentecost. That's his coming back,
right,
in the people. Amen. Since the day of Pentecost. Not Pentecost 1906, I'm talking about Pentecost AD 30. Okay? Back then, and then you say, well, that's the coming of the Lord then is truly the revealing of his word. And it is, because his word's been revealed all the way down through. But this is the culmination. This is when everything's finished. This is when you are not talking to Paul talking to a bunch of Romans that he's fixing to go see, and he's talking to them. God's talking through him to them, but God's talking through him to me and you. Okay, so it's not the Romans that he's talking to now, it's me and you he's talking to. And then we can all look back. We've got all this equipment. I was thinking the other day, you know, we've got all this at our disposal. There shouldn't be any questions. What the message is about.
Right.
Truly, it's not hair and dress. It's not living a good Christian life. They did that before the message got here. So it's not all that, but that is included.
Right.
But still, there's an element, like we were saying not long ago, there's a supernatural element. And even Brother Brown, I'll read it this afternoon, where we're going to, I don't want everybody to get real oiled up and greased up for this afternoon, because we're going to talk about marriage and divorce. We are going to talk about it.
All right.
All right.
But we got to look at it in the spiritual sense.
Amen.
Because in the natural sense, there's no grace. There's no grace. There's no grace in marrying 3 or 4 times if you're out in the world.
Right.
All right.
But under the grace that was given, then the prophet of God said, because of a supernatural revelation, they opened the seals. Now I see, like I said Sunday, I see where he got the revelation, I believe, which is in the third seal that we're in now. But now that didn't totally finish it, because he had to go to the fifth seal and open up that fifth seal, not he, God, open up that fifth seal to the prophet, showing him there's a group of people that did all these dirty things.
Yeah.
But yet there was grace given, and eternal life was given to that group of people. So there, to me, is the grace of marriage and divorce. Because, listen, the grace of marriage and divorce extends to what we do in the flesh.
Okay.
You hear me? It extends to what we do in the flesh. Because if not, then, as Sister Anna was saying a few minutes ago, once we realize that the new birth, and we'll talk about it this afternoon, because there were some questions during this week from some people that I want to clarify on a new birth. But they'll make cover them, because we talked about it. He may cover it this morning, but I'm going to cover it this afternoon too. That old nature, that soul's dead. Got to be dead. There's your marriage and divorce. Listen, if your husband dies, if I were to pass away, Jen's free to marry, only in the Lord, but she doesn't have to look back and worry about a marriage and divorce situation.
Right.
Now, I'm coming on to this right here because we're going to talk about circumcision in just a few minutes. And that all ties in together. But see, if you do have a living husband, then you got to find some kind of grace, because in the Bible, you can't have it.
Right.
It's unlawful.
Amen.
And you are called, you have a name called an adulterer.
Right.
But then you got all these other different situations. So like I said, we're not really going to get into marriage and divorce, but we are going to cover, because God had to divorce Israel to marry the Gentiles.
Okay.
Because they come under circumcision fleshly. You understand what I'm saying? We're all adults here.
Right.
In the New Testament, if you walked up to a guy and he says, well, where are you from? Well, I'm an Israelite. Show me. Well, he'd take you behind the tent and he'd show you. You understand? Because Gentiles were uncircumcised in the flesh, truly uncircumcised in their flesh. But see, that's a type. Same way with marriage and divorce. It's a type of Christ in the church. Christ can't be married to two or three people at a time. That's why the Gentile bride, we'll talk about this afternoon, the new birth is the only thing that takes away your marriage and divorce situation in your soul.
Right.
In your soul. Okay? Because the rest is just given eternal life at the white throne judgment and all these other things, impartation of eternal life, not the very thing. Right? Because the very God of heaven's got to come in and burn that old nature, kill that old nature, and then he marries you. But you've still got that spirit realm. Thank God you're back. I'm talking to Christine. I'm not talking to you.
You're looking at me.
Yeah, well, I'm talking. Well, I can't see her because when Ryan starts sleeping, he'll nod. I'll see who it is. But,
I'll say like Jesus said, when you see me, you see me.
Naturally, that ain't going to work. Because when I look at her, I don't think of you. Man. Anyway, I do think of her in respect of being married to you and having to put up with all that. But anyway, here we go to the marriage and divorce thing, you know. I mean, but now remember, too, though, the things we do in our body had to be covered. Everybody understand that? With the things we did in our body had to be covered because of misinterpreted theology. So it wasn't, I say it wasn't man's fault, but it was man's fault. But it wasn't the general population. It was what they were taught. Listen, we grow up under what we're taught now.
That's right.
You live by what you're being taught.
That's right.
Okay? So they live by what they were taught, which was okay to divorce and okay to marry. If you can't live with them, you know, get rid of them, get you another one, find you one that you can live with. No, that's not what God said. That's not what God said.
Right.
I didn't say that.
That's right.
Okay? So, and that's the same way with him. I don't want, listen, if I'm married to Christ, I don't want him playing around with no other woman, no other bride. He's mine. He's my husband. And when we realize that, see, we'll realize what we have. Like what Sister Lisa said. When we realize truly what we got already inside of us, not coming, here already, then we'll realize that a lot of these things that we're worried about, to me, it takes all the worry away. To me, the opening of the seven seals takes a lot of worry away from anything that I've thought before about myself or previously thought about what's going on, what's going to happen. It's just really settled everything. And I think that's what the opening of the seals should do to you. It should settle things. We should not be tossed about. We're getting to Romans 8 where Paul's building, because watch, he's talking to the Jews. But he knows he's fishing to talk to the Romans because they're Gentiles. They're uncircumcised. They lived under uncircumcision, you know. But that was a type. That was a type of what? The old flesh being put away. But when we get on further, we're going to look at when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, where does it go out of? If you're not born again, it goes out of your soul, because there was an unclean spirit in your soul. And it was called you. And the very nature you are. I mean, you know, Satan attached himself to you because of what? You come wrong.
That's right.
You were born wrong. That's why you needed a new birth.
Right.
And I'll get to it this afternoon, because some have formulated in their mind, even in the church, that you can receive a new birth after you're dead. That ain't never going to happen.
No.
It ain't never going to happen.
No. After you literally die.
But anyway, but it's a question in people's mind. It's a question in people's mind, then you got to answer it. And people though too can't be. Listen, when you talk about the new birth, it is something totally different than eternal life. But yet it is eternal life. But there's an impartation of eternal life. There's what the Old Testament got. There's what the fifth seal Jew got. There's what the foolish virgin get, and that's what the 144,000 get. That has nothing to do with the new birth. Not one thing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Right. We'll get into something this afternoon. That's why that opening of that third seal showed me that if there's not a death, then you're alive while you're dead. And that's the inside person. You're alive, walking, alive, me, alive. But you're dead inside. If you don't have the new birth, then you've still got the old you living inside. There's no way God can marry you. There's no way God can be your husband. And you can't have an intimate relationship with Him.
Right.
Lord, Lord, have we not watched, spoken tongues, cast out devils? He said, depart from me, I never knew. Look, that word knew is the same word that says Adam knew his wife. That word knew is a sexual relationship between a man and a woman.
Amen.
Basically, that's what it is. Adam knew his wife. And didn't he just walk up to her and say, hey, I know you. No, that's not my name. No, he knew her in a sexual way.
Yes.
Now, God doesn't know us in a sexual way, but we still have to have a, hey, read Invisible Union again and read it with a little more understanding. You read Invisible Union now and you'll see exactly why that it is an invisible union. Nobody's going to know it but you and God. But you can't have anything alive in you. If you do, then Christ can't live. I read the scripture last Sunday.
That's right.
If we be dead, we be dead. If we're dead, then we're dead to sin.
That's right.
But what? Alive to Christ. He comes in, kills that old nature with what? Holy Ghost and fire. Kills that old nature. Now that old nature's dead. Like you. That old nature's dead. Now that has nothing to do with the spiritual man. Now, he's motivated more by what's inside.
Right.
Because we did the elements of the world because the one inside of us was the motivating factor. The real you was in there with that nature attached to it to do wrong.
Yeah.
And then when you come to the age of accountability, or you turn God down, then that nature stays attached to that soul. And you have to give an account because you're still alive.
Right.
There was no death. There has to be D-E-A-D. And that's the name of my sermon this afternoon. It's going... Something must die.
Amen.
Something's got to die.
Yes.
Okay. Something's got to die. Because look, if you're Sister Rebecca, your husband's passed, you're free to marry. And there's no consequence. There's no scripture that says she can't. Now, only in the Lord. But there's nothing. There's no. Right. See, that's why I said now, when we read, there's therefore now no condemnation. Think of yourself, and even the situations that you're in. Now, who's condemning you? You're the only one that's condemning you. God's not. Now, the things we do every day, yes, we get condemned. And we say, sorry, Lord, forgive me. Sorry I did that. I had a situation yesterday, and I'm just going to tell it. I'm like Dad pretty much. I'll just tell. I didn't tell a lie. I told a little white one. But it wasn't a full truth. And I apologized. Well, I told the lady, I said, look, I'll go back and check. I'll go back and check and make sure. But there was a customer told me a long time ago, you can leave your package. He didn't say you can leave it at my mailbox. But he said, if I'm not here, you can leave it down there. Well, down there means his mailbox is a mile from his house. He's got one of them communities where there's like 10 boxes and everybody lives in this direction right here. They all come to one place. So I told the guy he could lay them. Thing across the, it was a big old long thing come from somewhere. And he just laid it, and there was no problem with that. But I told the girl, I said, oh, he told me we could do that. Well, then I felt that little, back up just a minute. That ain't exactly what he said. So anyway, so you straighten it out though. But see, you keep going on and like, you know, today you're like, well, I ain't worried about it now. No. You'll still be worried about it, but if you'll get rid of it right then, 5 minutes. It didn't take 5 minutes to get rid of that. get it done, and then I can give you an example today that we are not all perfect. But you know what? There's something inside of me, because I used to tell them all the time when I wasn't in, when the Lord wasn't inside, I used to tell them all the time. And you know what? There was no condemnation.
That's right.
Because there was no condemner in there. There was no judge, you know. It was just Satan was doing his work. So you see that? So that's how you know that God's at least trying to keep us straight, you know. Because we're born liars. You've done the same thing. You've told a little something, maybe not a half-truth or not exactly, you know, exactly verbatim what the guy said or verbatim what the person said. Right. Or you know what? You talk about something that happened and it really didn't happen exactly that way. Yeah. Okay. We're humans. Human beings.
Amen.
But there's what? There is a grace there.
That's right.
Exactly.
That the inside guy never did that. So what the inside guy doing is now, he's going, hold on, man. That didn't come from me. That come from that spirit realm part. That come from this part that walks around out here in this world. Because we really are two people. We have a spiritual being of us that we do the things of life, right? Then there's an inside of the inside that's protected. It's eternal. It never sinned. It never had a bad day. It never had pain. But we got to realize to let that person work.
Yes.
We have let others work. And by the time it got through the filter of out here, it got so diluted until, you know, we thought we were okay and everything's cool. But when that little tug hits you, you go, wait a minute. Let me correct that. That way if I correct it now, I ain't got to correct it 10 years from now or 10 minutes from now or 10 days from now. So anyway, let's get into what we were talking about here in Romans. For there is no respect of persons with God. I'm going to lap back over because we came on down to about right here. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now he's talking about the Old Testament. And if you're not born again, you're going to perish without the law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now look, if we're born again today, we're not judged by the law. We're hidden in the Word of God. Okay? That's why we won't go to judgment. What won't go to judgment? Not way down. But I've been judged because of what I accepted inside. That new birth is what took the old birth and annihilated it. I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham, Brother Branham said. Well, now, what was he talking about? He remembered he was an alien? No, he just knew who was working in his life.
Right?
Now, what he's going to interpolate for three verses. He made a statement in verse 12. For many have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, if you'll skip all that. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's a little cut and dry, but when he interpolates, watch, when he comes in here, says, now, for not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doer of the law shall be justified. Because in the Old Testament, truly, they made it a book of rules, and it was, because it was written down, says, do this, don't do that. Right? For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, in other words, they weren't covered under the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. In other words, just like what Brother Brown said about these virtues, there's many people in this world that have natural virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. I mean, there's a lot of people that just don't get mad.
Right.
Well, that don't mean one thing that they're Christian. Not
right.
One thing.
Amen.
If they're not born again, that you know what they've done? They just got a nature. Their DNA from this one and this one and this one and this one, there's a nature that falls down through all that. Good or bad. Yes, your husband is just like that. You can't make Mother Tom mad. But now, if he's not born again, that's not the temperance we're talking about.
Right.
Okay? Everybody all
right
with that?
Right.
So by nature, the Gentiles did these things. You know, they was good Gentiles. They weren't just a bunch of... sure, they were called heathens, but you had some good Gentiles that God went to. Like the Corinthians. You think, well, they were pretty bad. You know, God went to the Corinthians, and he went to the Thessalonians, and he went to the Romans, and you know what he done? He converted a group of people that was in there.
Yeah.
So there must be something about them that he liked.
Right.
Listen, if God ever attaches himself to anything, it's because he likes it. He sees something we don't see. Amen? Because remember, Brother Brown said when the Spirit came down like a dove and says, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm pleased to dwell." That's the same thing happened at your new birth. God comes in your soul, burns the old nature out, and says, "I am pleased to be right here in this vessel." Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's profound. You say, "No, I have to Jesus." That happens to every born again believer. It's got to, because that is the new birth. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. There's many Gentiles that never ever read the Ten Commandments. That's what he's talking about. They don't have a... At that moment in time, they didn't have them on every doorstep or over the door. Or, you understand what I'm saying? Like everybody's got them out in their front yard. But they're a law unto themselves. Now, see, I like this because I see grace in this because of heathen, natives, Indians, never heard of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They're going to be judged, the prophet of God said, by what? By their law.
Right.
By their law, not the Ten Commandments, by their law.
Right.
Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts demeaning while accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, their conversation. That honey is so pretty. We're going to extract this week, so we're going to see a bunch of that. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. We went over that last Sunday. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Now remember, he's sitting there talking to Jews, but he's heading to the Romans. So he's got to take what he's got to the Romans.
Right.
Okay? And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Because remember, the law and the prophets were until Jesus Christ. So the whole Old Testament. See, that was one of the questions that was asked. And they said, Brother Dale said it, that the Old Testament saints got the new birth. That ain't never happened.
Right.
Never happened. And Brother Dale never said that either.
That's right.
But see, you see, sometimes we formulate in our mind, and you do the same thing. When you say, "I thought" or "I think," you need to stop right there.
That's right.
You all right? Because we laugh at other people, but some of you that are laughing, we've had other conversations that you've been wrong too. So we've all been wrong in ourselves sometimes. Right?
Amen.
So, but we're going to try to align that. I think since the opening of the seals, that it ought to be aligned and made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we ought to be able to do it. And I say we, this vessel, Brother Dale, Brother Bob, we should be confident enough that God can use us to get to you to right the wrong. Okay? All right. You just got to listen to the word. Don't look at the person. You know, listen to the word.
Right.
Listen to what the word said. And knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, what we're just talking about, a teacher of babes, which hast a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Alright, who's you talking to? The people down there, where he's at. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Now he must have caught something. I won't say this in a way that you'll understand it. Now where's he going? He's going to Rome. The Romans have a spirit about them. Okay? The Romans conquered the world and they did horrible things to people and they under a religion. Okay? Under religion. They did that. Now what's Paul is picking up the spirit of that thing. Because what happened? Thou therefore teach us another. Because remember, the priests would stand up and they'd do all their rituals, yet they were molesting boys.
Yeah.
Or even had prostitutes. There was even one, they don't like to do this, but if you'll look back in the history of the popes, There was a pope that had concubines.
That's right.
You ain't supposed to do that. Okay, well, you see, if you teach us that, so what's he doing? He's telling them Romans that, look, you got guys out there preaching the message.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same thing that they're saying for you not to do. Now, we've had a few in the message do the same thing. I'm saying it's a spirit that gets on people.
Yeah.
Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? You say, well, that spirit's, no, that spirit's still here. Like I said, we've had people in the message.
Yes.
God could preach like a house on fire on a windy day. I heard him several times. Yet he was living with a 14-year-old girl and a 30-year-old woman and got caught and put in jail and all these things. Or didn't get put in jail, but he's paid his due. But he would preach, but he wasn't living it.
Okay.
Got to come out somewhere. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? In other words, are you sacrificing things to idols? Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Romans. He's talking to that spirit. He's not talking to a person. He's talking to a spirit.
Right.
We talk to spirits. We don't talk to persons. We talk to spirits.
Yeah.
Because they spirits that get on all of us.
Yes.
All of us.
Right.
And we got to get rid of those things. Because remember, the unclean spirit goes out of a man. If you're born again, that wasn't in your soul. But that could be attached to the outside, the middleman, the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay? So that's what this is for.
Right.
When the trash was going out in Sister Shepherd's dream, there was trash inside that person.
Right.
Wasn't in his soul.
Right.
It was in his spirit realm, not in the body. Forget the body.
Right. Yeah.
Forget the body. The body does not sin.
That's right.
Can't sin. It's a product of sin.
Right.
It's dying. But it cannot sin without something motivated. Okay? So the trash was going out of the... Because look, when you get born again, you got every bit of this.
Right.
You got everything you need.
Yes.
But now look, I'm going to tell you this afternoon, y'all get it a little bit early, so you can sleep a little while and finish the service. Y'all laugh? You do. Because we say the new birth is the birth of the Word. That is true to a degree. It is not a birth of all the Word. It's a birth of the Word that you held and you took.
Right.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Genesis 1:26, that man came to me at my new birth. But now the day I got born again, I couldn't stand up here and say these things.
Right.
You couldn't sit in the congregation and listen like you do the first day you got born again. No, you wouldn't worry. Listen, it's just like, honestly, it's just like being married in that first, honeymoon. And man, who cares about bills and where we going to live and how we even going to get home? Who cares, You're just drunk on you and your wife, You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you worry the night of your wedding? Honestly, did you worry about paying bills the next 2 or 3? No, you don't. Mama may have, but the rest of you probably But really, so God done that. He protected you. It's a new birth. It's a baby.
Right.
He lets you play a little bit. So you've got all this. Because look, this is what I'm saying is this is not... This is not something like Brother Dale's saying now. It's not something that comes from somewhere.
Right.
It's already in there. We just got to let it out.
That's right.
Yeah. So it is a birth of the Word that you held and that you were born again, but it's not a birth of the whole Word. The whole Word's there. Because where do you get your nourishment? You get it from the Word of God.
Right.
Preaching, studying, and all that. So it comes from inside.
Right.
But it comes from preaching and you listening, and then remember the trash, as the pure water, Prophet God said, the water of the Word was poured in.
Right.
What? There was no room for the trash. The trash had to come out. And that's what we got to do in our spirit realm. We've got to let that trash come out and run down and get away. Keep pouring the water in, and I'll promise you the trash will come out.
Right.
It's got to.
Yeah.
There's no place for both of them.
Yeah.
That's why that... Man, I'm sorry, I get to preaching upstairs and I get to preaching down here.
Come on.
But that's truly what, you know, at the new birth, the trash is gone. There's no trash coming back in. You're sealed. That's why it says sealed until the day of your redemption. You're sealed. There's no trash going to get back in that. You're done. You're finished. It's over.
Right.
But that outside man has still got sticks and stones and all these things, you know, floating around in it in our spirit realm.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't seal that man in, the trash can come right back in. That's why when this thing gets sealed off, it seals the whole unit. That means in your spirit realm, don't worry about the body.
Yeah.
In your spirit realm, God is sealed in,
yes.
Satan is sealed out. That's when we take a body change. We're still working, but that's the body change. Because the body can't be changed one word off.
That's right.
So one word off, maybe one speck right down here in the corner. There may be a little rock or a little stick laying right down here in some of our life. But as you keep pouring the water in, eventually that little stick's going to float up and go out. But when it does, that's when we're going to take a body change.
Yes.
That's why it's going to be hard to do, because we still got a lot of sticks in our life.
That's right.
Paul says, Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonor, is thou God. So that's what he's telling them. He said, you got preachers that are preaching, and they're doing the same thing they're telling you not to do. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Here we go right here. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. Listen, the Jews right now let's make it really bad. Jesus is standing there. Now he was circumcised.
Right.
Remember, circumcised the eighth day. We know he was circumcised. Right. But all the Jews around him were circumcised. Now the Romans that were running the court, they were uncircumcised.
That's right.
But all these Jews, that was Caiaphas and all them, they were circumcised. That, hey, they can go back and say, hey, look,
yeah,
and I'm doing what the law says.
That's right.
Wow, they were covered. No, they're the very ones that put Jesus on the cross.
Right.
Why? Because their heart, their inner being was not circumcised.
Right.
So, verily circumcision verily profited if thou keep the law. Because they all became murderers when they said, let his blood be on us and our children.
Yeah.
They all became murderers. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now you can't put skin back.
Right.
So now he's talking spiritual.
Right.
Okay.
Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Because they were some that come under the law that were Gentiles. Remember? They were Gentiles and they weren't circumcised. Now remember, some of them went and became circumcised. But remember when Paul brought that guy into the temple?
Yeah.
Whoever it was, Timothy or somebody. They must have looked. I mean, you had to show, I guess, before you went in the temple if you were circumcised, you were uncircumcised.
Right.
Because he said, they said, oh, you defiled this whole temple. You brought this uncircumcised. Paul's like, guys, y'all have missed the point.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Right.
Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Not physical. Okay? Spiritual.
Right.
And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. In other words, the letter and circumcision, all that you can do, you're transgressing the law. Because remember, the law, like Brother Dale, is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, not to save you. Law never saved anybody.
That's
why I said there's no new birth under the law. There's no new birth under the Old Testament. Because a new birth takes you out from under the law, puts you in Christ because Christ is inside of you then.
Yes.
Listen, it's hard to see. It's hard to see. But Christ was more, let's take Moses, I guess. Probably in the Old Testament, he's probably one of the most powerful prophets there was, right?
Yeah.
Would you say, was anybody any more powerful than Moses? that had to put a veil on his face, that presented God more to the people than anybody else did, right? Even Christ had to type Moses, because Moses said, "They'll raise up a prophet like unto me."
Right.
Moses did not have God in his soul.
Right.
Right.
Like you do.
No, that's right.
John the Baptist, though he received the Holy Ghost somehow, somewhere, some way, He did not have the Holy Ghost in his soul like
right.
you did.
No.
Because the least in the kingdom,
right.
the kingdom is the new birth,
right.
is greater than John. John was the greatest of the prophets. Now that's the Bible, that John was the greatest of the prophets. Even Jesus said. He said, but the least in the kingdom is greater. Why? Because John did not have what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
That's why I'm telling you, eternal life is different from the new birth. I see that. It's totally different. Because you can't have the new birth and go before a white throne. You can't have the new birth and not come up in the first resurrection. You can't have the new birth and not go through the millennium. See what I mean?
Yes.
That new birth sends you all the way through that.
Yeah.
The only way Moses and some of those others are going to be anywhere close to related to us is because, remember, God was once married to Israel. He was once married to that group. He divorced them. Now look, you say, well, how can you do that? And I say, you got to go back to marriage and divorce. We may talk about this afternoon a little bit. Because remember, if I catch you committing adultery, I can divorce her. She's dead. She's dead to me. Now, if I catch her and do everything right, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I can marry again.
Right.
And be perfectly safe.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But being a preacher, I got to marry a virgin or a
right.
widow of a priest, so stay alive, baby. That's my girl right there. I ain't worried about no man. But same way with Christ. You say, how can he see Christ put Israel away? Didn't kill her. Put her away in divorcement because what? She went whoring. He caught her committing adultery. That's why he can put these denominations away. And stay married to us. Because he would technically have a living wife. See, I would technically have a living wife. But in the eyes of God in the Bible, if you're caught sisters committing adultery, your husband can put you away, marry another, and you're just as dead to him as anything.
Right.
But now you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't divorce Christ when you don't like him no more.
Right.
I go to preaching. Here, let me stop. I'll preach this afternoon. But you see that more clearly. We've sat under marriage and divorce for 50 years, but man, I see it so more clear about what that new birth done to us. Puts us in a whole different category.
Yeah.
Whole different category.
Yes.
And we should feel honored that God did that.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Whether we die and go by the grave, whatever, doesn't matter.
That's right.
That soul is preserved for eternity.
Yes.
What was that? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision. Okay, we're down here. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. I can show you I'm a Jew. That don't mean one thing. And you know what? It really didn't mean anything to God in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a sign
right.
that you had done somewhat what God told you to do.
Right.
And in other words, I just got this fresh. You had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
You had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You were 8 days old.
That's right.
Right.
It was your parents
that's right.
that took you to be circumcised.
Right.
You didn't have nothing to do with it.
Right.
For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew. Now remember, keep in your mind, he's talking, he's going, sending this letter to the Romans, and he's coming to bring a gospel to the Romans. Because some of them may be afraid, man, I hadn't been circumcised. I'm 50-something years old. I sure don't want to go back and be physically circumcised. He said, don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the circumcision of the heart,
mm-hmm.
of the inward man. Don't worry about it. That's why I said, the flesh has nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a sign in the Old Testament because Christ wasn't there to take away all that. Sure, Christ was there as an anointing. Christ wasn't there as a person to come inside them. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Okay? And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. So it's in the heart, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Man, we got past chapter 2? Because he continues his thought, and we'll read just one more before we go. Excuse me. What advantage then hath the Jew? Because everybody's looking to the Jew. The Jews are in the holy city. The Jews are there. They're the ones that turn God down. And what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them that were committed the oracles of God. What is the oracles of God? The Torah, the Old Testament was committed to the Jews to live by that. And they turned it down. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make a faith of God without effect? In other words, they said, well, I don't believe in the Ten Commandments. So, you didn't give them. So you can't take them away. That's the same way with God. Same way now with us in our life. We can't take away all this. Or this will null, sure. The soul is born again, but we still got to live. We do live by law. Listen, we do. It's the law of the liberty of Christ. That's in the Bible.
Right, right.
We do live by that law. But remember, the do's and don'ts is not written. It's lived.
Right.
Okay, it's lived.
Right.
That's what's going to be lived. All right, let's go.
Right.
Now, I didn't read the dialogue, but I'll read it next Sunday. Because there were some good things in